Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Pay attention! Pay attention! Stop! Pay attention!
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Fake hands, what time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Starring Bob Lutz.
Don't get on my nerves again. I'm very prickly right now.
Really?
I'm prickly and I'm proud of it.
Really?
Jeff Lutz.
Just because you got proven wrong, you don't get to go double back. Shut up. What a show I've had.
Wow, that's something.
And Jason Duda, for today anyway.
I'm just curious. I'm curious to see what's going on. That's all.
You can be replaced, Chicky Baby.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Jason Duda in today, the three-man booth on a Thursday where the sun is shining. The temperatures are in the 40s, I believe. But it doesn't seem, what's with this snow and ice? It doesn't seem to want to melt. We've had the longest period of time in 30 years where we've had 2 inches of snow cover. I read that today on one of the TV websites.
Probably ours.
What's going on with it?
It's snowed and it's cold, so it doesn't melt.
But this is abnormal. Usually we get some warmer weather. We don't have cold stretches like this for this long.
It is the winter. It is winter, and it hasn't been that cold. It's been in the 20s and 30s. That's not that cold.
Hasn't been warm enough to melt anything.
Well, it's winter.
You like driving on these side streets?
Coming into your area is an absolute mess.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Just take your time. Go slow. It's easy. It's not that difficult.
Nothing bothers you. Why even bring it up?
I used to have to drive on this stuff for like 6 months a year.
You were in a plow. Nobody cared.
His occupation was on this stuff.
I wish I was in a plow. Take care of it right now. Done. See ya.
Bring a plow.
No.
That's my name. My name again is Mr. Plow.
Do we have a Jamal Holoparic today?
No, you told me you wanted her on Friday.
Good. Well, that's good because we have a stack show today.
Thank you.
225 Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. The Chiefs getting ready to play Houston. One of the games we'll pick coming up in hour number two. And at 245 today, new title, the promotion for our friend Sean Johnson. He's now one of the three assistant general managers for the Minnesota Twins. And he'll join us at 245 to talk about that.
But I don't like the Twins.
You like the Twins just fine.
I do?
Well, sure.
Why?
You go to the AA games all the time.
See
those players.
That has nothing to do with my affinity or lack thereof for the Minnesota Twins.
Surely you get to where you have a little bit of affinity for some Twins.
Nope.
So you watch them every night, but you don't develop a, hey, that guy's pretty good, I like watching him.
That's correct. I go there to score games, be impartial, do my job, not get emotionally attached, and head on home.
What if it was the Cleveland Guardians double A team?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone gets hits. No errors. Everybody gets a hit. Roll on through. Your average is going to skyrocket.
You had to be impartial.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you mentioned that about a minute.
I don't think I said anything like that.
I'm sure you did.
Well, I would hope you'd be impartial regardless of who's playing.
If I got to be the official scorer for the Akron Rubber Ducks, I think that would be the thrill of a lifetime.
Well, you're never going to do that unless you move to Akron.
Doesn't seem likely.
Which, if you are, I'll help pack.
When's Akron come into town?
They don't come to town. They're in a different league.
Why?
Because there's three
AA leagues.
Why don't you get them in this league?
I'll see what I can do.
Write a letter.
Akron is in the Eastern League. Is that what it's still called?
Yes, sir.
You have the Eastern League, the Texas League, and the Southern League. Those are your three AA leagues.
Interesting that one whole state gets a whole league, and the other two are just regions of the country. It's
kind of weird.
But I like it. The Texas League.
Why don't they just make one big league?
Because that's just not how it works for travel purposes
travel
and other things.
Travel would be a nightmare. You got to watch out for those people. It's not the CHL that you played in.
That's right. We traveled everywhere, other countries, everything.
Right. They abused the players, in that league.
Well, I can't argue with that.
What other countries did he travel to in the CHL?
Canada.
There's a CHL team in Canada?
Ontario.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
What was the name of it?
I don't remember. After that 22 hours on a bus, we
didn't
to
start
get
with
there
a
to
B?
Play.
Brampton.
Brampton, that's Brampton. ECHL.
Yeah, but they were in that CHL, too.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, there, I get my memory served.
Yeah, that's
me well.
Actually pretty good. Good job, Bob.
Brampton, Ontario. How many Canadian teams are in the ECHL now?
Well, there's one in Newfoundland. I know that. Just the two, maybe? I think there might just be two.
How many Canadian teams are in the no-show?
Five. Unless they've expanded.
They may have.
Because it's so popular right now, the way things are going.
Everybody wants to play in the no-show.
I could see them expanding.
I agree.
I'm impressed that I remembered Brampton, but then I was sitting here thinking that in my days at the newspaper, we were just immersed into local sports, so I paid attention to what was going on in the CHL.
Yeah, they're not in the CHL anymore, though.
Well, they used to be.
They used to be. The CHL
is not around. That was never my beat. I never had the beat of covering the Thunder.
You probably asked not to.
Well,
I did.
I would have been a duck out of water.
You would have been.
I had that beat. I thought I did reasonably okay.
You did pretty good. You did pretty good, I'll say that.
You did fine.
No, he did pretty good.
Yeah,
he didn't just do fine. He did pretty good.
Pretty good.
Who was better, the person before him?
Colin Long or Jeffrey Lutz? Who do you prefer?
Ooh.
It's tough.
Ooh. I was a player with Colin Long, so it was different.
Yeah.
Did he treat you fairly? Give you enough pub?
Yeah, I mean he was good. He was good. He was fine.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You didn't spend a lot of time worrying about it.
No, not really.
Or lifting weights, as we learned yesterday.
No, yeah, that's why. No.
Who'd you have on the show yesterday?
Me.
We had on the Heston girls coach, we had on the comedian, and we had on Mike Furches. And we had on, yeah. What
did Mike have to say?
Oh,
he was pretty quiet.
He was out of it yesterday. I don't know what was going on with Mike.
Well, he was lost because I wasn't on.
Mike had something going on. I don't know. Said he was tired, but it seemed like more than that.
My guess is that he doesn't care to come on with you two.
Well, he did come into the studio.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well,
he did at least want to hang out with us. I hope he's okay, too.
Here's where we are in picks. Duda continues to get his bonus game.
What was the easiest one on the slate?
Yeah, in hindsight, it probably was. I don't know what I was thinking.
Did anybody else get it right?
Right now, I have a six-game lead over Max. In the games pick.
Here this guy goes again.
I know.
The thing we've never talked about or discussed.
It doesn't mean anything,
it's
but
a great
yet
thing.
He's got to bring it up.
Max has been on a little bit of a hot streak, so he's moved into second place. Now in points, which is a little bit less important.
Really?
Duda leads at 384. My goodness, he's 48 points up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And 51 points up on you.
That hurts.
And you were laughing at all my picks last
week. Well, they sucked.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you only went 4-4.
Doesn't matter.
But you get your bonus pick.
I get the bonus pick and my other decent ones.
Max got the bonus pick. Jeff and I didn't get the bonus pick.
Stupid Vikings.
Losers.
If I get the bonus pick, I'm up there at 37 points.
Yeah, but you didn't.
But I didn't. And Jeff never gets a bonus pick right.
It's happened before.
Maybe you'll get it today. What is the bonus pick game?
You know that wall we were talking about yesterday?
Yeah, did you hit it?
Crashed.
Yeah.
Just crashed into it.
What happened?
I don't know.
Right now?
Yeah.
When that wall comes,
you just hit the wall right now.
Yeah, I did, but don't worry about it. I'll be fine.
What does that mean?
You just feel something leaving your body.
Tell me what you felt.
just felt energy leaving my body.
Is it because of the conversation?
No, it's nothing. We talked about this yesterday. There's no rhyme or reason for it. You never know if it's going to come. You never know when it's going to come.
And when it hits, boy, does it hit.
Oh, it hits.
You've had that happen to you?
Oh, lots.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I assume everybody has.
Not me, man.
Really?
It hit me this morning. Got home, had a little bite to eat, and sat down. I thought I was watching TV.
Well, that's just being tired.
Boom.
No.
Woke up.
Something different than just being tired.
Yeah. Can't even keep your eyes open.
It's that's being tired.
Nah.
Yeah, but it doesn't hit you that hard.
Are you tired? Is this a...
No, I'm not tired. I just, you know.
I get tired.
You're indifferent?
No, it's not a feeling. It's just the energy's left my... Some energy's left my body. But I'm fine. Don't even worry about it.
Well, I'm not worried about
like
it.
Like, me at a 6 is like you at a 50. So, this shouldn't be a problem for us.
Why do you have to insult? What caused that?
I don't know if that was an insult. I was just...
Oh, I've got a lot more energy than you. I'm much more
vibrant. Talking about just entertainment value, participation on the show.
I'm more entertaining than you. No, that's what you're telling me. Well, let's ask a third part.
Oh, yeah, like he'll answer this. But maybe he will.
He may not. But you've been around this show a long time now.
You guys are coming to me for the answer.
And we appreciate what
you're
bring
the third
to
party.
The show. I can't ask Misty.
He's trying to butter you up. Don't fall for that.
No, I'm not buttering anybody up. Entertainment value, who you got?
That's about even.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's a typical answer.
Absolutely.
You were going to say that no matter what, weren't you?
Absolutely.
More likely to become a serial killer. Oh, that's about even. You probably both.
You never know.
You never quite know.
I can't see it happening with either one of you, so I'd have to go 50-50.
Do you have a game today?
No, it's Thursday, Jeff.
I know, but am I going to be here tomorrow?
Well, show up.
I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow.
Why not? What's the problem?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do
I might have. I might not.
No, you're not. You're off tomorrow.
Yeah, but I might come, but I might not.
No, you're off tomorrow. I've already got you penciled out.
Uh-uh.
You can pencil me back in.
Thank you.
That's the beauty of a pencil.
That's right. You erase it and you put
it
back in.
We appreciate it. We're going to get through tomorrow without you.
Nah, we'll see.
Three-man booths are great.
Nah, I don't want one.
I love it.
Why?
I don't want one tomorrow.
Okay, well then I'll stay home. I got stuff to do. Jeff can come in. There you go.
Whatever. Whatever you guys work out.
Nah, I don't want to do that.
Whatever you work out is fine with me.
All right, three-man.
No, not three-man. We're not doing that. Not tomorrow.
You just said whatever.
Yeah, I don't want
like, what's
three
the man. What's the issue? Like, I'm on the show. My name's on the show. I can show up.
You told me you wanted tomorrow off.
I said sure. You said sure. You, like, forced it. It was like a magic card trick.
No,
like
I said,
you just
do you want Friday
forced...
off? Sure.
Sure, whatever. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. That's... You said sure.
We'll see.
You're not coming in. The door will be locked. I don't want you here tomorrow.
Why?
I got other things going on.
Like what?
What? Yeah, exactly.
I got a lot happening. Let's see. KU last night. Game you had to, I hope you watched. I'd give you about a 10% chance of watching it. But anytime.
Well, the kid was home. We hung out. We did other stuff.
There you go. Of course, the kid doesn't want to watch anything.
Well, we went out.
Where'd you go?
To the Y.
Well, that's fine, but we had a really, you know, an interesting...
Yeah, I didn't even know that game was being played. That's crazy, isn't it?
No, that's not crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
That's typical you.
It's crazy for others. It's typical for me. Did you watch it?
No, we know Duda didn't.
I did watch a little bit
of it. You did?
Watched a little at the end of the second half and then a little bit in the start.
Well, there wasn't much to watch at the end of the game. It was a blowout by then.
Or end of the first half, bit and just a couple minutes
in. There you go.
In the
there
second
you go.
Half.
That makes sense.
Then went to sleep.
Now we're getting somewhere. Anyway, I don't think I've ever seen a game with that many loose balls. That's what stood out to me. The ball was on the ground all the time. Both teams made efforts. I mean, it was not a lack of effort, but I've just never seen a ragged game like that. And the reason? Iowa State really defends. So does Kansas when they want to. But Kansas is a little bit reminiscent of so many teams in this transfer portal age. They just don't seem like they gel.
Doesn't seem like it.
It seems like they just throw a bunch of guys out there and they're trying to figure it out. And there's no real cohesion. Meanwhile, for the most part, Iowa State has cohesion and they went into the transfer portal. So I try to figure out why.
Well, sometimes.
Why does Iowa State have cohesion?
Well, maybe they did last night, but are they going to have it all the time?
They're ranked third in the country.
Well, they're a good
team. They're
ranked
second in the country.
Yeah, I mean, but they have that. They seem to have gelled.
Well, some groups of players or whatever you want to, whatever you say the word is, it just works. Like you put two actors together, some maybe they have chemistry, maybe they don't. You just have to. You have to mix and match. You have to find out. It's just kind of random.
Well, you don't have any time anymore now to find out what kind of chemistry you have.
Nope.
It's got to happen immediately.
That's what I'm saying. It either happens or it doesn't. That's why you guys believe in it, because what? It's kind of one of those unspoken, intangible
things. What do we
believe in? Chemistry, and we got to gel, and we got to have a strong locker room and a veteran presence.
I do believe in that stuff.
I know.
You don't?
Well, I do to some degree.
So you just throw,
when you're talking
just throw
about,
some guys together.
When you're talking about a blend of players, sometimes, but it's not necessarily explainable. It's not. It might not have to do anything with chemistry or what goes on.
It absolutely has
it's
to do with
how do these guys mix as players.
You played many years with the Thunder. I would imagine there were some years where you felt the vibe in the locker room and even on the ice was much more what's the word I'm trying to think for? I think much more conducive to having a good team than other years. Am I right?
Absolutely.
It's fairly odd. Anybody who's played on a team.
Yeah, but it's just confirmation bias. Oh, we have a good team because we have good chemistry. We had a bad team because we didn't have good chemistry.
No.
Yeah.
You can have can have an average team but great chemistry.
Name one.
Well, I can't. I don't know if I can name one.
Because they don't stick out because it's confirmation bias and no one talks about them. And then you just come back and
chemistry and be a great team. The New York Yankees under Billy Martin. They were fighting all the time. To some degree, the Oakland A's. And you can have great chemistry and not have a good team. But it helps to have good chemistry.
I guess.
Especially.
Unless we're going around disproving it, which you seem to be doing.
Especially at the college level with younger players. And right now, I don't see the chemistry with the Kansas Jayhawks.
Well, and them and a lot of other teams.
Right. But they're the most notable. They're the ones with the most basketball tradition.
Yeah, well, I agree, but that's what you're going to get. This is where you're at in college, especially in college basketball. You're going to bring a whole bunch of guys in and just hope things work out.
Right.
That's where we're at.
No, so I hear you.
You don't know who you're going to have.
When you bring in a transfer from Wisconsin who was a very good player there, you bring in other transfers. I can't think of all of them.
Ryland Griffin.
In my head. From Ryland Griffin, from where did he come from?
Alabama.
Yeah, and then they got the kid that's now starting. But you bring in all these guys who have really good credentials from their former schools, and you try to mix them in with the three returning players they have, and it's just it's a real crapshoot.
I wonder what recruiting is like in the transfer portal versus a guy out of high school. I bet in high school you can say, we got this clear vision for you. Here's how we're going to use you. Here's how you fit into our scheme. In the transfer portal, it's probably just, we need somebody. And you were good last year with another school, so come and help us. It's probably way different.
Well, yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, of course it's different.
So the other side of it is, well, we want this kid, and there's like 20 of them we want, but the top 12 have already went somewhere else. So then you're not even getting the top of the list.
You're just
getting whoever. And the reason why they've been on four different teams in 4 years in college is because there's probably a little bit of an issue there.
Something going on.
So maybe.
You can't put a whole bunch of issues together and then think you made a paper.
No. Listen to this guy.
Oh, my God. That just came out of my mouth. I'm getting good at this.
What'd you say?
I don't know, but I'm done for this segment.
There you go. K-State, similar issues. They can't find the key. And they have one of the highest NIL payments in the country. And here they are scuffling around below 500.
Yeah, they gave a lot of their money to a guy that, you know, was okay at Illinois.
They gave a lot of their money to several guys.
But they gave a lot of money to Coleman Hawkins,
right,
who, even at Illinois, like, okay, is this guy really a star? Is he going to come in and change the makeup and the foundation of your team? Probably not. But
not good.
Gave him a lot of money.
Not good.
What does he care? He's got $2 million.
Between the Shockers, the Wildcats, and the Jayhawks. And listen, KU's still very good. They're going to get into the tournament. Who knows? But coming off the pretty mundane year they had last year, not great. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, the Chiefs, in their divisional playoff game coming up Saturday, late afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium against the Houston Texans. You can hear that game, of course, on our sister station, KNSS. Jesse Newell with us next.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my life here.
Down the track!
I love them. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Na, 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 na.
All right, we are back. It's Big is the musical theme. Songs with the word big in the titles. Big Girls Don't Cry from Fergie. Here's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, the Chiefs. Still in there, hunting for their third consecutive Super Bowl win, NFL title. They have the Houston Texans coming up Saturday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium. Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the show.
Bob, is that Fergie? Is that you? Is that your preference? I figured you'd pick another Big Girls Don't Cry song, you know?
Yeah, you would think. I didn't do the music. Max, our producer,
You should take credit for that. That's not a bad song.
I don't do the music. Okay. I used to, but I don't do that anymore.
All right.
Pull out the old school Big Girls Don't Cry, like the way back in the day. That's what
big
you need to make.
Big girl.
I love that
version.
You go.
I love that version.
There you go.
All right. We've got the Chiefs who have, this is obviously an overstatement or an understatement, muddled through to be 15-2 this season. They're the number one seed in the AFC. They don't have to worry about Buffalo or Baltimore this week. Those two are going to face off against each other. But they have a Houston team which was really dominant, especially after the first quarter and their win over the Chargers last weekend. How much of a threat do the Texans pose?
Well, I mean, it's a threat, but like you're in the playoffs and you're in the divisional round. I think it's actually probably as good of a matchup as the Chiefs could have hoped for. You know, you look up and the Vegas odds, they're 8.5-point favorites. You know, they got the 3 weeks to rest up. They're going to be at home. There's going to be some weather, which again, just like we talked about last year in the divisional round, Chiefs play in Miami and a Miami team comes in here and a little bit shell-shocked by the cold they're experiencing. I mean, it's hard for anybody in Houston to, you know, simulate what they're going to feel out there when it's single degree wind chills coming up on Saturday. So, I mean, could the Texans beat the Chiefs? Absolutely. And you saw what the defense can do. The defense is really good. And that's how the Texans dominated that game last week, got some turnovers. And those are the sorts of things that can swing games. But, you know, in general, I mean, I think the Chiefs couldn't really ask for much more. You mentioned in the Bills and Ravens are on the other side of the bracket. They can go beat each other up and knock each other out and and have the winner come to Arrowhead next week. And as far as the Chiefs go, as long as they play how they feel like they can play and don't have these crazy swings of momentum or turnovers, then I think you have to like their chances. So, yeah, obviously the tape didn't lie last week with what the Texans did against the Chargers, and that was a surprise to a lot of people out there. But like I said, this sets up pretty nicely for the Chiefs. It's really nice to have the one seed, get the bye week, and then be able to take on the lowest seed available. And so that's what they earned over the regular season, and I think it's a big advantage now at this point.
I'll go back before we move ahead more into the Texans matchup, but just looking at the AFC West as a whole, you know, the year that it had, getting three teams to the playoffs, that looks really good. How wide is the gap, in your opinion, still between the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos, two teams that made the playoffs and made leaps, but in the playoffs they didn't really show much? Do they still have a lot of work to do, or is that gap narrowed a little bit?
Yeah, closing for sure. I think you just start with two of the most important things in the NFL and football, whatever you say. I mean, it's a coach and a quarterback, right? I mean, you start with those two things, and all of a sudden, you look across the division in the AFC West, and Chargers, you got a coach and a quarterback. I know Herbert didn't play well last week, and obviously they've got to get over some of those playoff woes that they've had recently. But, like, Herbert's pretty good, and Jim Harbaugh's pretty good. And you look over in Denver, it's like Sean Payton's had success, and he's been pretty good. And Bo Nix wasn't perfect this season, but obviously, you know, he performed in some big moments and, you know, was able to find receivers down the field and scramble when he needed to and use the run game when he needed to. So it still feels like the Chiefs are ahead, and obviously they've dominated this division for a long time now, but I guess you just look to the games at Arrowhead this year that they needed a blocked field goal to beat the Broncos, and they needed a doinked field goal to beat the Chargers at Arrowhead. So definitely a closing gap, and I think, you know, if you have those two things in place, any NFL team, if you have a quarterback and you have a head coach and both of those are competent and both of those you feel good about, then, yeah, you're going to be a competitive team. And so I do think the AFC West took a major step forward this season.
Well, going back to the game, how much concern is there about a little rust? I mean, I know they're professionals. We're talking about they're better players. But when you've had almost a month off and then go back into a playoff game, there's got to be a little bit of rust. Will they shake that off after the first quarter? Or do you think that there's going to be any of that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it would be a bigger concern for the Chiefs if Andy Reid wasn't their coach. And the bottom line with the matter is, like, you coach this long and in this many playoffs, and you've had a lot of different scenarios. And it was interesting, like, even talking in the locker room, I talked earlier this week with two guys who have not won Super Bowls yet, but are still trying to help the Chiefs to a three-peat. You know, guys like Hollywood Brown, you know, he's trying to win one. And, you know, Nico Remigio was actually on the practice squad last year, but he wasn't on the main roster. But I got over to Matt Araiza, the punter, who, you know, the Chiefs just signed this year. And he had kind of interesting this thing to say, which is like, the good thing that the Chiefs have going is nobody in the building questions if what they're doing is correct. They don't question if this is the right move or if this is, you know, all the direction that everybody should be moving in because of Andy Reid and because they've won two straight Super Bowls. And so Andy Reid sort of mentioned that this week where, like, there's certain things he's done in practice to keep guys sharp and to kind of try to get them introduced to the speed of the playoffs. He talks about the speed getting greater every single round, but for instance, last week, guys, they went ones-on-ones, which they hadn't done since training camp. You know, that's usually a training camp thing where you're getting bored in practice and you want, you know, Chris Jones against Patrick Mahomes and the first-team offensive line. But during the season, you want to rest up and you want to go against the scout team. You want to prepare for a game. So there are kind of tricks of the trade that Andy Reid has used to try to motivate his players, keep them sharp for this week. And, again, it doesn't mean that the rust can't show up on Saturday. It absolutely could, but I do think there is some comfort from around this building knowing that if the Chiefs are going to be in one coach's hands, they're going to be in Andy Reid's hands, and he's been through scenarios like this in the past before and sort of knows how to handle these situations.
Jesse Newell with us. We're talking Chiefs as they prepare for the Houston Texans coming up Saturday in the playoffs divisional round. Are the Chiefs as healthy offensively as they've been all year? And that just seems to be right up Jason asked about the layoff, being healthy, having a little time to heal, and having Andy Reid as the coach seems like a recipe that they're going to roll out some maybe offense that we haven't seen with greater health than we've seen. Are you expecting some new things?
Yeah, I will get to the health here in a second, but you bring up a really good point about Andy and getting time off as well. My colleague Sam McDowell at the Star looked up this stat. He was curious, and so he had to go basically by hand to look this up. When Andy Reid has a bye week and the other team does not have a bye week, his record is 29-3 in the NFL. So, again, if you're talking about advantages, and maybe there is rust because this is kind of an extended layoff for guys like Patrick Mahomes, but if you're looking at any team or any coaching staff or any coach in the NFL that potentially takes advantage of extra time, no one does it better than Andy Reid, and that's been proven throughout the course of his career. As far as injuries go, I mean, it's crazy, Bob. Like Rashee Rice is out for the year, and Mecole Hardman returned to practice this week, was limited, and probably won't play. With Nico Remigio taking over the punt return, kick return role here the last 5 weeks or so. But literally outside of that, like, they have a whole roster. Like everybody's back. You know, Chris Jones was battling a calf injury before. He's going to be back full strength, a full practice this week. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, I know he played like he didn't have a high sprained ankle, but he did. Now he's back. He's healthy. Hollywood Brown, they've only played him in 33% of the snaps in his two games back. Why would that not be 80%? You know, it's the playoffs now. It's time to get out there and time to utilize the best weapons you have. So it really is crazy for a team at this point in the season to be as healthy as the Chiefs are going into this one. Again, you'd love to have Rashee Rice in there. There's no doubt about that. He would be one of the Chiefs' best players if he was out there. But outside of that and outside of potentially Mecole Hardman, I mean, the other one we got to mention is Jalen Watson. It sure seems like he's going to play on Saturday. This is near miraculous because – you know, I still learned in the season a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, I know in the building they were not expecting him back at all for this season. And now if they have him back potentially for the first round of the playoffs and maybe be a starter to step back in next to Trent McDuffie in that defensive backfield, the Chiefs are getting major lifts, major boosts when it comes to health and really couldn't be in much better position when it comes to this time of the season, especially after going through the grind of a schedule they went through in previous weeks.
Jason and I were talking about this yesterday, and I don't know if I made my point quite as eloquently as I wanted, but you have these three generational quarterbacks still left in the AFC. You could talk maybe about Burrow being in that group since he did go to a Super Bowl, and Baltimore and Buffalo play this week, and one of those quarterbacks is going to lose and come up short again this year. Is it fair to discuss, you know, guys without a ring or legacy? It seems much more difficult when you have several dominant players to get one than when you don't have as many dominant players. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that makes sense, but is it fair to those guys, Allen and Jackson and Burrow, to discuss their legacies at this point?
Well, I know that what will be interesting next week is sort of the narrative surrounding this, because if the Chiefs do win, no matter who comes to Arrowhead, they are going to be seeing ghosts. They're going to be seeing a Chiefs team that always seems to get their number at this point in the season. And, mentioned Jeff, I mean, like, you're going to be seeing a quarterback who is going to be so desperate to beat these Chiefs because of what's happened in the past. You know, like Lamar Jackson, if you go back to week one this year, he ran the ball like 17 or 18 times against the Chiefs, not sustainable for a whole year, but he was just like, screw it. I want to beat the Chiefs. I want to get this, you know, this curse away from me. And I mean, we don't need to repeat the Bills, like the Bills 13 seconds or last year when they play at Buffalo and miss field goal and, you know, to bring back the same kicker potentially into Arrowhead this year. All these things, like to your point, it's interesting to wonder, like, how many Super Bowl rings would Josh Allen have right now if Patrick Mahomes didn't go to the Chiefs? You know, like a lot, right? At least two, maybe three. So it is crazy to kind of compare these. It's kind of like maybe a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady sort of discussion, but it does make for potentially a fun matchup. My goodness, guys, like whoever that would be, whether it be the Ravens or the Bills, if they were able to come to Arrowhead next week, play in the AFC Championship game, there would be storylines galore, and obviously one team, again, trying to get away from their ghosts, try to exercise demons and beat a team that right now has the psychological edge over the rest of the AFC. So we'll see if one of those quarterbacks can do it and can beat Mahomes and can add to their legacy. But until it happens, yeah, they'll be playing second fiddle, and that's sort of how this whole narrative has played out so far.
All right, Jesse, as always, we appreciate your time. The Chiefs in Houston coming up 3:30, I believe, is the kickoff at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Thanks as always.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Here's Sean Johnson, now the assistant general manager, just promoted this week with the Minnesota Twins. He's been part of the Twins organization for 24 seasons now. Sean, hello.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
We're doing well. We're happy to have you. Congratulations on your new gig. You get promoted about every other year now, so this is pretty impressive. Tell us about this new job, how it's different from what you've been doing, which is mostly in the scouting avenue of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no, I think in the short term, my job, my main responsibilities will still be with the amateur draft, which is what I love to do. It's what I've been around my whole career. So I think most of that will be the same. And then I'll also get the opportunity to you know, venture into other parts of baseball operations and have more contributions with other things that are going on as the year, you know, goes, the calendar goes through the year.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about, you know, obviously Minnesota Twins players who come through Wichita in Double A on their way up to the big club. How nice and how fun is it for you to watch the guys you've helped scout and helped draft and been a part of that process to see them get up to the big leagues? I have to imagine that seeing the fruits of your labor is pretty rewarding.
Yeah, I think you put it the right way. It is rewarding. You know, scouting is, it hasn't really gotten any easier since I started. It's a difficult task. And to see guys get to the big leagues and can contribute to a club and, you know, help us push into the playoffs, you know, a year ago, it's very rewarding. It's a kind of a full circle moment because you see these players long before they're polished and, you know, what you see them on TV, they're a long way from that, especially the high school players we draft. So to see them get there and contribute and stop in Wichita along the way is even more special. And that's why we do it. It keeps you going.
Sean, I know you mentioned you're going to be part of the amateur draft a lot, and I know you got a few assistant general managers there. Are you going to have just specific things that you will personally take care of, and then you kind of venture out after that, or how does it work on the day-to-day operations? Will you be involved in a lot of the other stuff too, or kind of just stick to some of the things that they want you to do?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think most of my job will still revolve around the amateur scouting world and the draft and overseeing that. But, you know, I'm lucky to be able to get involved with trade discussions and free agents and trade deadline. There's a lot of events that happen on the calendar, and I'll be involved with those things, and I'm looking forward to doing more of that.
Well, I wish you'd join the Cardinals and be involved in something that I'm waiting for them to do something this offseason. Driving me crazy. Sean Johnson with us, one of the new assistant general managers for the Minnesota Twins. Grew up here in Wichita, played at Wichita State. And I got to ask you, we mentioned the passing of Bob Uecker today at the age of 90, one of the great legends in all of baseball history. Some as a player, obviously, but mostly as a broadcaster and as an entertainer, really. Did you ever have a chance to meet Bob Uecker in your travels across baseball?
I saw him once in a press box, you know, in the dining room before a game. I never got a chance to talk to him. But from what I know, he's exactly what people think of him. Just a great, great guy who had an amazing life. And you know, everybody loved him. I know the Brewers franchise is taking it pretty hard today. Sent them a couple texts, but it's tough when you lose an icon like that's meant so much to a franchise. So it's a tough day for Milwaukee.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask you about Walker Jenkins, the top-rated prospect in the Twins organization. Got a little taste of Double A last year, and then he played in like the last series, I think, for them. What about his makeup? He definitely looked the part in the brief time here in Wichita. What about his makeup made you feel like he could handle, you know, two or three promotions last year?
Yeah, Walker's one of my most favorite players I've ever had a chance to scout and get to know. It's rare that you see a player when they're 17, 18 years old that they can kind of see their whole future in front of them, even at that young of an age. He's very focused on becoming a major league player and being a good major league player, and he obviously has the skill and the ability to do that. So it's probably just a matter of time before he gets up to the big leagues, but I'm glad, you know, fans in Wichita will have a chance to see him this year and see him develop. But to get to that, to get to Double A at the age he got there is hard to do. And he's a guy who we're not shocked by the things he's done. And, you know, he started out you know, injured last spring. So the fact that he still got the double A with in that short amount of time in the summer is pretty impressive. But that doesn't surprise anybody that knows Walker. He's an amazing kid from an amazing family in North Carolina, and we see a lot in him and a really bright future.
So when you're scouting these guys, does it take a ton of time, or is it with some guys you just see that thing, you know, and people talk about that thing, he's just got that thing. Is it kind of either way when it comes to saying this guy might be somebody we want to look at?
Yeah, it's the beautiful part about amateur scouting is they're all different puzzle pieces that you have to put together and try to figure out. And, you know, you're wrong a lot, and the goal is just to be right more than you're wrong. And that's hard to do. But when you walk into see Walker Jenkins in high school, he obviously stands out physically. He's a grown man at 18. And so those are the special days when you walk in and you watch you can watch a swing or two and know this guy's got a good swing. And you get to know him as a person and how he's wired, and you just start connecting the dots. And they're really easy with a guy like Walker Jenkins. But there's other guys that are more difficult to figure out and you know, where you should take him in a draft and where you should select them. But Walker Jenkins, you're just lucky he made it. You know, he was the fifth pick that year, and we weren't sure he was going to make it to five because he was just such a turnkey guy and without a lot of risk. So we're certainly glad we got him that year.
Talking with Sean Johnson, now assistant general manager of the Minnesota Twins and a Wichitan. So it's got to be cool to have the double-A team here in Wichita. Just take us through growing up here and your baseball experience. And when did it first enter your brain, Sean, that maybe you wanted to find a way to, if it wasn't going to happen as a player, that you wanted to find a way to continue to have something to do with baseball? When did that enter your brain?
Yeah, I think, you know, I always loved playing baseball growing up. I had a bunch of great youth coaches. You know, the guy who impacted my high school life the most was Mike Gear. If I wouldn't have gone to his catching camp and whatever year that I think that was like the second year he ever had the camp out at Collegiate, I wouldn't have ever been on Brent Chemnitz's radar at any point in time. You know, I started at Newman and then got a chance to go over to Wichita State right at the right time. We went to the World Series my first year there. But Gene and Brent, you know, they changed my life. You know, they, you know, taught me how to compete and be a part of a winning program. Luckily, being at South High, I was around Steve Eck, who, you know, I was right in the middle of the dynasty there with basketball. So I was around greatness and what that looked like. And I still think about those days all the time and how much that shaped me and what I believed and what I wanted to do. And I really wanted to be a coach. I had never really thought about being a scout. And then David Chad, fellow Wichitan, you know, he was a scouting director for the Marlins at the time. And you know, he brought me on and gave me a chance, and the rest is history. But I was blessed. I had a lot of good people in my path, and very grateful for that to this day.
Well, we're happy for you, and we appreciate you taking some time to come on the show today. And we're ready for baseball season, and we can't wait to see what's ahead for you and the Twins. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
You betcha. All right, there you go. David Chad, who once upon a time reached out to you potentially about potentially scouting.
Yep.
Just think, we could be interviewing Jeff today.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Crazy.
Assistant GM of the who knows who.
The Guardians.
Oh, would have been unreal.
I'd be making moves, though. They probably wouldn't have me.
All right, we've got an hour left. We'll be making some picks. We'll talk a little more about Bob Uecker coming up next.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.